Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up today on the show, we'll have Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of Minnesota football and basketball. But we'll talk, obviously, just football this time around with Mike. And we'll have our high school football roundtable.
Or as we call it, the law firm of Brandt Williams for Lazo and Wetzel.
I saw the billboard. I was impressed.
There you go. Marketing plan worked.
Yeah.
All about branding.
By the way, we hope the suit's doing well.
We hope so, too. Yep, got some good news.
Good.
Yep, we did. I will share that with you during the break.
Good.
I was going to text you earlier, but I know you were doing some other stuff, didn't want to interfere.
Well, no, I want to know what's going on with him.
Absolutely.
So
we think the world of him.
Yeah. So I'll make sure he's doing all right. Okay, so I'm glad there's some good news there.
You bet.
He had some good news with that. One of the big stories of the day was actually in the Altoona Mirror. And that is Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barber saying that James Franklin is not on the hot seat now. He will not be on the hot seat in December. And she made that plain as day.
In my opinion, I didn't think she'd have to do that at all because, in my opinion, he's not on the hot seat in the way I see it.
Well, you have to when people are...
A lot of speculating, yeah.
Well, you have to when, for example, people are bringing it up as topic on talk shows or writers do their list who's on the hot seat, who's not. And his name gets thrown out there.
It makes you wonder if it was brought up if Les Miles was still, you know, gainfully employed at LSU. If it would have been.
It was being brought up earlier.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it's just part of the game. I mean, writers. I don't mean the beat writers. I'm talking mostly about the national writers. They come up with these topics, who's on the hot seat, who's not. You know. And you know me, I've always hated that topic. And you know, I'm always like, what the hell? After a while, like, what? So you're going to play games with somebody else's job. Really? Okay. I mean, let's be real about what's going on around here. Okay? Michigan's on a roll right now, right? And to the credit of Brady Hoke, with all the advantages of Michigan, he recruited really well. But they felt they needed to make a change. Because they didn't think he was taking what they had far enough. Okay. What advantages does James Franklin have? Name which embarrassment of riches he had when he took the job. Full roster of players, full number of scholarships. What? Which advantages did he have when he took the job? Can you name any? He has an awesome fan base backing him up. And he has the reputation of the fact that Penn State's a traditional power backing him up. But in terms of what he took over roster-wise, what advantages did he have, and how has he squandered it? Where? Which ones? Which advantages has he not taken advantage of? When he walked into the job, what did he have an embarrassment of riches of when he walked in? Now, Les Miles, as you know, I don't agree with coaches getting fired in midseason unless they're broken rules. They're broken rules, they're broken rules. And at that point, you need to be let go.
I think the last time a coach was let go this early in the season, I would have to say Lane Kiffin at USC a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they left him on the tarmac, told him to get his own ride home. But they let him go. But look at LSU. They've had all the advantages now for a dozen years with him as the head coach. And they're sitting there and saying, has he done enough with it? Jim Harbaugh is doing extremely well at Michigan. He's earned his success. But he walked into a situation where they already had a lot of talent on hand that had been recruited. Now he's added to it, and he's also organized it really well.
So would next year or the year after that be truly considered his team?
What, Harbaugh's team, or you mean James?
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh's team at Michigan.
Oh, I mean, I think the second you take over, it becomes your team. But you do have the built-in advantage of, okay, well, let's look at the starting running back. Did he recruit him? No. The tight end? No. Darboe? No. Chesson? No. The offensive lineman? No. He didn't recruit any of them. All right, the defensive line? No, 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 and no until he gets Rashawn Gary. The linebackers, did he recruit them? No. Jordan Lewis, one of the top five DBs in the country, did he recruit him? No. Okay. Channing Stribling, the other corner, did he recruit him? No. Jeremy Clark, recruit him? No. Jabril Peppers. Oh, no, he had to recruit Peppers. No, he didn't recruit Peppers. Brady Hoke did. So he walked into a great situation there and, to his credits, taking advantage of it. What advantages did James Franklin walk into? Which one? Awesome fan base, great tradition, great support, traditional power. All right. But then what advantages, personnel-wise, did he walk into? Which one? I mean, you didn't have to start over, but your starting point is a little bit lower than where some of the other guys have had to start from. Whomever takes over at LSU, whether it's Ed Orgeron keeps the job or not, is walking into something. What did James Franklin walk into? What advantages did he have? Yes, he's got an awesome fan base. Yes, he has an awesome tradition. But what? Okay, your fan base and your tradition can't play for you. You got to play with the guys you've got. And if you have limited numbers and you were forced to recruit limited numbers, which then limited recruiting classes, what are you supposed to do? Which one, you know, which magic wand do you grab here? This is a process of trying to get it back. It takes a lot of work to get it back. It's as simple as that. Use common sense. again, what part of this has he squandered? You know, rich talent base, depth. Which one of those did he squander? He's got, what, 7, 8 scholarship linemen when he walks in the door? 7? Are you kidding me? So, I mean, I realize that you've got to put out columns, you got to put out, you know, and I'm not talking about the state media. I'm talking about the national media guys, you know, who's on the hot seat, who's not. So that, you know, when you start looking at the Penn State job, I want people to look at the Penn State job as normal. I do. When it's normal, they're not there yet. They finally get some sense of normalcy around here with 81 scholarships, better positional balance, things like that, but it's still not quite. You know, you want to be able to lean on the older players, the upperclassmen, but there just aren't any of them because that's the time where you weren't allowed to recruit a lot of people. So now you got to rely on younger players. You got to get them up to speed as quickly as possible. And at some point, it will turn. I am confident with this guy, it will turn. Absolutely confident it will. Does he have the right belief system? Yes. He believes deeply in academics. He believes deeply in community service. He believes deeply in discipline. All right. Just because you don't know about his discipline doesn't mean he is not a big believer in discipline. He is a huge believer in discipline. Does he believe in doing the little things? Yes. I mean, I'm around this all the time, so I'm just telling you this, that that's a perspective that maybe, you know, you wouldn't get only because I have the advantage of being there. And there were some people that thought that in public he was too soft on the B. Smith penalty. All he did after the game was relate exactly what the officials told him when he was arguing. There are times, like Patrick Chambers did with Maryland a couple of years ago, where I think it's worth risking the $10,000 fine. There are other times where I don't think it's worth risking the $10,000 fine. Saturday was one of them. There's no need to risk a $10,000 fine. So you just go along with whatever the mandate happens to be because you just don't want to cross any lines. But then when you get your opportunity in private, you tell them exactly what you think. Take my word. Take my word in no uncertain terms. James Franklin let the Big Ten know exactly how he felt about it on Monday. Okay? Take my word. He let them know in no uncertain terms on Monday how he felt. Just because he didn't do it in public, what you say sometimes in public is not what you're doing in terms of, you know, expressing your opinions and how strongly you feel about them in private, so that the league knows how you feel. I'll give you the exact quotes here from Sandy Barber talking to Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror. She was at the Blair County Chamber of Commerce We Lead program at Lakemont Casino. She said, James is not on the hot seat. He is not on the hot seat, and he's not going to be on the hot seat in December. He is the right guy who is doing a spectacular job as a teacher, as a coach, and as a leader of young men. What's happened with the sanctions so forth is part of our reality. I know a lot of folks view that as an excuse, and I don't like to make excuses, but that's our reality. When Penn State is where we ought to be, where we should be, where we're all striving to be, we absolutely should go toe-to-toe with anyone in the country. Clearly, we're not there. We're not a finished product. I don't think anybody thought that we would be a finished product 4 games into this season. Was Saturday disappointing? Of course it was. but no one's more disappointed than our coaching staff and our student athletes in our football program. So I certainly understand where our fans are coming from and the disappointment. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We got a suit update. He's doing well. A little surgery today. And there are any changes.
Just in the body shop getting things all squared away for another several thousand miles.
It's just going to be one of those where, like, the entire time, you know, we're going to be reminded of it, you know. It's just, it's a cry for help, I'm telling you.
I'll give Mrs. Yeah. Suit a lot of credit keeping the wireless devices away from him for a while.
I know we've been begging her to do that for years. So, yeah. We're looking forward to it tonight. We got Sharmarek Curtis, by the way, in the show tonight, and James Franklin will be at the Letterman's this evening. Penn State Coaches Show, 6:05 to 7 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
On a Steve Jones Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. Join on board. Mm-hmm. Then I've got to go over to the All Sports Museum afterward because I have to MC this State of Excellence deal for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Coach Kale's going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah, he will. And it's supposed to go 7:15 to 8. At 8:01, I'm out. All these things in a row. I spoke to the petroleum group last night, and they were awesome.
Yeah, I was going to ask how that went. But
I got back at 10, though.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I did a Q&A, and it went for a while. And the... And I'm supposed to do some dinner with a donor tomorrow night that won some auction. Now, why would you win an auction and part of it's having dinner with me? I wouldn't bid on that. I have dinner with myself all the time. It's no thrill.
Never hear me say that.
What, every time you have dinner with yourself, it's a thrill?
No, I'm talking about you.
I mean, really.
I'm a great audience, all right? Me, myself, and I.
High School Football, next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for This Day in Sports History. 1951, the first network football game televised by CBS in color, the game between the University of California and Penn. 1957, the Giants played their last game, the baseball Giants, at the Polo Grounds. The next year, they were in San Francisco. Let's see. Also in 1986, Mary Lou Retton announced that she was quitting gymnastics. And in 1992, Magic Johnson announced he was returning to pro basketball. The comeback ended the following November. And that is This Day in Sports History. All right, let's get to the high school roundtable. Mike Ferlazzo steps in. It'll be Shikellamy here on News Radio 1070 WKOK taking on Shamokin. Welcome, Mike. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, it's good to be with you, Steve.
Last week, a tough one with Williamsport. What was it that didn't quite work this time around that it worked previously?
Well, it's the fact that it was a 6A team against a 4A team, basically. And make no mistake, Shikellamy battled this undefeated Williamsport team as tough as anybody has all season. In fact, nobody had led them before Shikellamy and Pearson White took the opening kickoff back 84 yards for a touchdown. So, you know, Shikellamy jumped on top and battled throughout that first half, held Trayson Potts there. Outstanding running back, sophomore running back, just 58 first half yards. and forced a couple turnovers. And so Shikalini led 13-7 at halftime. So nobody's done that all season. But in the second half, Williamsport and that pedigree really took over. And Potts ended up with a big game as he had 218 yards and three second-half scores. And actually, his first play from scrimmage of the second half, he took one 58 yards for a touchdown and option play. And so that just kind of got the ball rolling. And before it was all said and done, Williamsport goes on to the 49-19 victory. But Shikalimi learned a lot from it. Unfortunately, a little banged up in that game, too. And that's one of the concerns as they get back into Class 4A play and back into Heartland Athletic Conference Division I play on Friday against Shamokin.
What in the first half worked that showed they can go toe-to-toe with anybody?
Well, I think, again, they got all of their weapons in action, and I think that's the big key. I mean, with the wing T, you know, you need a strong fullback, you need a couple good halfbacks, and that's exactly what they got from, you know, Gabe Tilford, Joey Folk. Lamir Mitchell scored a touchdown. That was the one that put him ahead 13-7. And right before that, Joey Folk had taken a swing pass and got them set up with a long pass as well. So I think that was it. They were just showing the diversity and the fact that their skill players, you know, while they may not be 6A caliber, certainly very good on the 4A level. And also defensively, I think they did a good job just tackling, running to the ball, getting to the ball, getting numbers on Potts and Isaiah Hankins, that fine quarterback. And they forced turnovers, Steve, a couple turnovers, and that's what Shikalimi's done all year. They're still plus +8 in the turnover margin. But in the second half, you know, I think it just was Williamsport finding those holes, maybe just a few missed assignments, and the injuries, quite frankly, did start to mount up on the Braves. The big concern coming into tomorrow, Tate Krankowski, their junior quarterback, actually was injured in that game. And he had aggravated an ankle against Selinsgrove, and it was re-aggravated in a sack in the second half. He's listed as questionable for tomorrow against Shamokin, and that's a big concern coming into that game because they've already lost him at safety, where he leads the team with three interceptions. He was their starting punter as well, and now starting quarterback. And the two guys that are listed behind him, Trey Cunningham, the senior, and then Gabe Tilford, their fine running back, who's a junior, kind of runs a little bit of the Wildcat formation. They're combined 0-for-9 with one interception on the season so far, passing the ball. So, you know, he's a big key for making them go. And they'll be tested tomorrow if he can't make it go. I know last week he didn't practice through Wednesday and still was probably 70-80% of that game against Williamsport. So that's a tough go for them. But, you know, nonetheless, they aren't facing an opponent like Williamsport, which is big, strong, athletic, and fast.
All right, so now you got Shamokin. Give me some keys in this Shamokin game coming up.
Well, the key is get numbers to Devin Titevich. They're fine, 5'5", 145-pound junior running back. I mean, he really makes them go, and they don't have a big passing attack, but, boy, he's got 482 yards and 80 carries. Now, that's four-game numbers with seven touchdowns. So he's averaging 6 yards per carry, 120 yards per game. So that's going to be the big key, is really kind of containing him, not allowing him to have a monster game. And then if they can't get anything going with Krankowski on the bench through the air, Shikalimi's going to have those ball control kind of wing tee drive with their variety. They have a kind of like the four-headed monster, averaging 282 yards per game with 14 scores. Joey Folk with 396 and six scores leads them. So they're really going to have to kind of spread things around, really get the ball control going. And you know, Shamokin's not real big up front, maybe wear them down. And I'll tell you a big key right now, Shamokin's 1-4 on the season, 0-2 in the Heartland Conference, but they may be the best 1-4 team in the state. They've lost two games in overtime to quality opponents in Loyalstock and Mifflinburg. They led Southern Columbia at halftime, and it was 24-20 Selinsgrove going into the fourth quarter of that game before Selinsgrove won 38-20. So their four losses are all the good opponents. They were in every game. And so one of the things, though, is when you lose those games, particularly the young team, and they have only three senior starters, you want to jump on them early and get those negative thoughts back in their mind. So I think Shikalimi would love to get an early score at Shikalimi Stadium, get the fans into it, and get Shamokin kind of thinking about bad things once again with that 1-4 record.
All right, that'll be at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 6:30, the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Mike, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Mike. All right, Ryan Brandt on Eagle 107 tomorrow night. We'll have the call with Pat O'Brien as Selinsgrove returns to action tomorrow evening. They'll be playing at Jersey Shore. Ryan beat Berwick last week. What did that do for the spirits?
Oh, well, thanks for having me on, Steve. But that was a huge, huge win for Selinsgrove. especially after the tough Shikellamy loss at home. But it was sloppy. I mean, great defensive play the first three quarters. Selinsgrove really struggled offensively, had 12 yards at halftime, 1 yard rushing, 11 passing. But, man, they got a little bit of some wind in their sail when they got a 46-yard field goal out of Dawson Klinger, basically to end the third quarter. It was a school record. And they came out in the fourth quarter, able to get a little bit of running, and then got the passing game going. Logan Livey had a little over 100 yards and had a TD pass in that fourth quarter. But ultimately, they just stayed tough defensively, which has been their staple, you know, for the last decade or so. And we're able to sneak out a very good win, which I really think is going to propel them here in the second half of the season.
Right. That was a huge win for them. How'd they come out of the game? Normally, when you get into a game with Berwick, it's really physical, Ryan. How'd they come out of that game?
You know, as far as injury-wise, I haven't heard anything new. I mean, they seem to be pretty good. They had a guy already, Ricky Cope, missed the game. He's got a banged-up hip, and I'm not sure if he's a go this week. I know he's a game-time decision. They do have a couple other guys that are going to be out for Jersey Shore. So that is a concern, but as far as the Berwick game, I was surprised. As much as that was a heavyweight fight and the big hits in the game, they walked out of there pretty unscathed.
All right, Jersey Shore, to their credit, the last couple of years, they've been really, really good. Have they been able to continue that?
Well, they're getting better. I think they start out pretty slow this year. They got a bunch of new guys. That whole group is gone that, you know, had 11-win season, a 9-win season from a couple years ago, but they played really well the last couple weeks, getting better and better. The thing with them is they like to throw the ball around. They've had some success throwing. They got over 1,300 yards passing, 15 TDs, so they're able to get the ball up in the air. They do have 10 interceptions. That would be something to watch out for in this game, especially with Joe Kahn coming away with 3 picks last week for Selinsgrove and the one to seal the win. But they're an improving team. They had that early loss to Mifflinburg in the early beginning of the season, which was, you know, a little bit of a shocker, I thought to myself. But played Montoursville tough. They had a win 2 weeks ago against Lewisburg. So they're coming along. But, yeah, the one thing they do is they throw the ball. And Selinsgrove is going to do a lot of that, too. Now, the interesting thing for this game is weather. It's supposed to be rainy. That field is never a well-maintained field, in my opinion. And they're having junior high football games there tonight. So it'd be very interesting to see how the field holds up. And if it's raining, if either one of these teams, which throws the ball a lot, are going to be able to do that.
Eagle 107 tomorrow night, 6 o'clock will be the airtime, 7 o'clock the kickoff. Ryan, thanks so much. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you.
All right, Ryan Brandt. Shift gears now. WMLP Talk Radio, WMLP 1380 is going to have Milton against Southern Columbia. Steve Williams joins us. Steve, first of all, welcome. It's great to have you back on board.
Thank you very much, Steve.
When you look at this, how tough is it to build any kind of confidence because of how things have gone?
It's got to be real tough. I mean, Milton looking still for their first win of the season. They really struggled in the last two games, you know, going into the game against Bloomsburg, who was 1-3, and they thought, you know, at least let's have a good showing. And, you know, Bloomsburg just ran all over them. You know, and that the whole second half, they never ran beyond the tackles. They just, you know, dove the ball into the line. They were not trying to embarrass anybody, but Milton just could not stop them. The week before, the same thing with Danville. They had a freshman running back just kind of run all over them, and it's going to be a tough game. I mean, Southern Columbia, you know, the defending AA state champion coming in here. Beginning of the season, everybody said, wow, they're rebuilding. Well, they are. They've got a sophomore quarterback and a freshman running back. But, you know, they've outscored their opponents by, I think it was like 49-9 all season long in the first 5 games. So, you know, these guys, they're not rebuilding, they're reloading.
Have you seen the kids at all at any point hang their heads over this?
No, they play hard. That's the good thing. They continue to play hard all the way through. You know, I know George a lot of times may take a lot of grief because of the record, but I can tell you that he has the respect of the coaches and the fans of this area. They know he's one of the best football coaches in this area. He's just had the unfortunate circumstance of not having a lot of bodies, you know, not having a whole lot of kids out there that he can work with. He gets more out of them than they came in with. But you know, it's a question of numbers for him right now.
How's the town responding?
They still follow the team. You know, I don't know what we'll see tomorrow with Southern coming in. I know Southern will pack the place, but you know, all the parents and then there's a small group of loyal fans. But you know, honestly, in all high school sports around here, we've seen that core of loyal fans for any sport kind of waning a little bit. You don't get you know, with the exception of maybe Seelums Grove, some of the huge crowds that you used to get.
Steve, always a pleasure. Good luck tomorrow night, 1380 Talk Radio WMLP. Look forward to the broadcast very much.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve.
All right. Yep. Milton will be at home tomorrow night, too. Greg Wetzel, he's got Lewisburg and Montoursville. Hi, Greg. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you. Nice to be here.
All right. So let's start with last week first. Southern Columbia, you just heard Steve talk about they're allegedly reloading.
Yes.
And the way Steve explained it, yeah, they are. I mean, sophomore quarterback, things like that. But there's reloading and there's reloading.
That's right. They played 8 to 10. I think they played 10 freshmen total against us last week. At some time during the game. Yeah.
What do you think of that team? I mean, obviously they're a really good program, defending state champs. But I mean, you're able to look at it objectively. I mean, now, what do you think of them? How good are they?
They're good. They're not as good as they were last year, I don't believe. They have the potential to be better. Losing Hunter Thomas right now, he didn't play against us. That's a big loss to them. He's their senior running back, their leader that they can count on. I don't know how long he'll be out for, if we'll be back this week or not. But I would say they won't have much difficulty in district. They'll run into problems when they get out of districts and right. See what they come up against.
Interesting point. All right, let's get to Lewisburg now. Obviously, the game ends up being a shutout. But what was the positive you took out of that?
Boy, no one got hurt. We had 11 yards of total offense. We had 2 positive yards rushing, and we completed 1 pass for 9 yards. Never crossed the 50-yard line the whole night. It was just a tough, tough game. We were deep in our territory the whole night. I think we had 1 first down. Couldn't move the ball. We were without Dylan Farinato, who is the best playmaker on the team. And the starting running back, A.J. Ramirez, was out. That didn't cause Lewisburg to lose the game, but it hurt them offensively.
Right. All right. Now, this week, Montoursville, and Mike Ferlazzo, in fact, had them. Chickalemme played Montoursville in the opener, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So what's the read that you get on this game? How important will be the start for Lewisburg based on last week?
I think it's absolutely the most important part of the game is going to be that first quarter, the first series, if they can move the ball. Lewisburg has had success against Montoursville during the regular season the last several years. Where they've run into problems with Montoursville is when they play them in districts, and they've lost to them in the districts, district tournament, so to speak. They feel good this week. They're getting Farinato back and Ramirez. So they'll be back. That will help them offensively and defensively because Farinato plays defense also. The kids know that regardless, the record's 1-4. Their schedule is back end loaded that if they win 3 or 4 of their last 5 games, they're going to qualify for districts.
That's right.
They know the season's still there for them.
When they have played with the lead, have they been a different team?
They have. That you can just see it, you know, a little bounce in their step. They come out, they come off the line of scrimmage better. The running backs are breaking some tackles, things like that. They're more positive with when they have that lead, yes.
Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
No problem. Thank you.
100.9 The Valley will have that game at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 6:30 the airtime with Lewisburg at Montoursville. Also, Southern Columbia will be at Milton. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff. 6:30 the airtime on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP. Sealands Grove will be at Jersey Shore tomorrow night on Eagle 107 at 7 o'clock. 6 o'clock will be the airtime, and Sean Carey will have the postgame scoreboard show as well on Eagle 107. And here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Shikellamy at home to take on Shamokin. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff. 6:30 will be the airtime. We'll come back with more in a moment. Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of Minnesota football, in the next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Imagine feeling the raw power of a 400-horsepower twin-turbo V6. And match that with all-wheel drive and the ultimate in comfort and technology. Experience the zen-like feeling for yourself. Stop by our showroom and experience this incredible American luxury vehicle, the new 2017 Lincoln MKZ. It's more than a car, it's an experience. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury is waiting for you to come and experience the complete lineup of Lincoln luxury vehicles. Sunbury Motors is making that luxury an affordable reality with 0% financing for 60 months and $1,000 cash back on 2016 Lincoln MKX, and 0% financing for 60 months and $3,500 cash back on 2016 MKZ hybrids. Comfort, performance, style, and luxury are all made affordable at the Susquehanna Valley's home for affordable American luxury, Sunbury Motors Lincoln. Check out our inventory online at sunburylincoln.com or visit us today in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
Great to have you with us. Here on this Thursday, our thanks to all of our announcers joining us for our weekly high school football roundtable. Next half hour, Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of Minnesota football, is going to join us. And we'll talk about the game coming up on Saturday at Beaver Stadium. And if you have any questions or comments, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Sandy Barber in Altoona last night was asked about the job security of James Franklin and was emphatic. He is not on the hot seat, and he's not on the hot seat now, nor is he going to be on the hot seat in December. She understands the reality of what's going on here and the time it takes to come back. You walk in and you ask, okay, what advantages is a coach walking into? And there's obviously going to be some jobs that are more difficult than others. In other words, if I'm going to go out and I'm going to take the Iowa State coaching job, well, they're not going to be the same advantages built in there as there are at Oklahoma and Texas and so forth. Okay, that's obvious. I mean, obviously here at Penn State, you have the advantages of great facilities. You've got great academics, an awesome fan base, loyal fan base, knowledgeable fan base. Right? You've got all of that going for you. But what about the situation you walk into? What advantages did James Franklin walk into? Right? Roster ready to take off. Roster just needed some reorganizing. Roster that he walked into a depleted situation. And it was meant to be a depleted situation when he walked in. It's just a reality. That's not an excuse. You sit down in your office on the first day and look around and go, wow, you've got a lot of work to do here. And it was no fault of anybody here as to how it played out that way. Bill O'Brien did the best he could with what he had and what he was told he could do. So it's not Bill O'Brien. He had his hands tied by sanctions, and James Franklin, he knew what he was getting into when he walked into it. But there's also a road to get back. Right? They're on that road right now.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.